Welcome to another podcast at Sly'sOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers, another one of our great sponsors, Madison Computer Works, Brian Leese, who started Madison Computer Works in 1982, if I'm not mistaken. Have I got that right, Brian?
That is correct.
And you're on Island Drive, right off Mineral Point Road on Madison's fashionable west side, but you'll help people from all over.
We will. We do indeed. As a matter of fact, halfway across the country these days.
Let me ask you before we get into some of the things you listed, let me ask you about the difference between going to a local place to buy your laptop or desktop computer and having it serviced at a local place versus a chain.
Well, one of the things is that when people buy local, they're keeping money, taxes, jobs local, which is a big thing, of course, and everything. But likewise, prices are so low on new equipment that you don't really save much, if any, money at all going to the big box stores or mail order. In other words, local stores are going to give you local service support, someone to talk to, and you're going to pay about the same anyway. So why wouldn't you want to work with somebody locally and get local help and everything and keep taxes and everything else local and provide jobs and everything in your local economy?
You know, I've heard there are some stories. I know of this one idiot who couldn't figure out how to get his printer to work with his laptop. And because he bought his printer at a local shop, they hooked it up for him. How about that?
You know, I think I know that story and everything. But that's just one of the many things that, you know, if you buy local, you can call up, you can stop in, you can get that kind of help and not expect to always have to pay for it.
And this does cost money, but what about the new feature that I have on my laptop where you can work on it from your shop and I don't have to bring it in?
Right. That's our new remote support we're now offering. It's called a customer care plan. It lets us take remote control for and help you when problems arise. And it's something we started offering about a year ago, and it's been very popular also. It's like something pops up on your screen and you don't know what to do with it, or you can't get your Outlook to work, or things aren't working. You don't want to haul it in for service or try and schedule somebody out there. Then we just take remote control of the machine, you know, when you call up, of course, so that we can assist you or train you or help you through it. And you avoid trip charges and, you know, large labor bills and being without your machine. So that's been really popular. Those customer care plans that we introduced have been really popular. When I said I help people halfway across the state, I get people calling up from California with problems or whatever. One woman was visiting in Argentina and was having a problem, and I was able to fix it. So
nice. It's
really phenomenal.
Nice. That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about a few issues that you listed here. Let's start out with net neutrality. I know that Rush Limbaugh hates net neutrality. Why is it an issue, and why is it popping up again?
Well, the new appointee to the FCC, Ajit Pai, is really, he wants to gut net neutrality. He wants to get rid of it. It's one of his, it's on his agenda, so to speak. And, in a nutshell, net neutrality gives the ISP or large bandwidth providers the authority to charge more to companies like Netflix or YouTube or Hulu, even medical facilities that do online like operations on people and everything, for them streaming content, which of course those companies are just going to be forced to pass on to the end user. So in essence, net neutrality, if you get rid of it, is only going to benefit these large ISPs and their shareholders. If it gets removed, think of it like kind of like deregulating providers, so they can charge whatever they want to companies who stream data to your phone or computer. I mean, this would hurt, first of all, startup companies who are trying to get a toehold in like already established industries, as well as the end users, since you know that those big companies like Netflix are just going to pass on the costs to the end user. So prices go up, and nobody benefits but the big ISP and providers and corporations.
What is their argument against net neutrality, other than that it's big government telling business what to do?
I haven't heard any good arguments. They try and say that, oh, well, then they'll have more money to invest in infrastructure as far as I know, other than that argument that they'll have a little bit more funds that they can then put into, you know, increasing that infrastructure, which, you know, if that were the case, they would be doing it already. You know, they're just going to pocket the extra money and, you know, and everything. So, yeah, I don't know of any benefits to, at least not to the people.
Now, what is likely to happen? That's only one commissioner. There's a number of commissioners with the FCC.
Yeah, what is likely to happen? You know, it's hard to say. I mean, the entire industry pretty much supports net neutrality. Nobody really wants it except for these, you know, giant providers, and, of course, maybe their stockholders will get a large dividend off of it and everything. So there's a lot of, you know, fighting against it, so to speak. I mean, I don't want it as an end user. I don't know of anyone who really does. But, again, we both know that it's not necessarily what the masses want. It's what the people who are in power do or don't do. You know, deregulate anything, and that's like saying, well, okay, let the big corporations do whatever's in their best interest.
I'd look at the deregulation of the airline industry and the problems that that's caused.
Yeah, well, without getting too political, I mean, I'm just saying that in this case, gutting net neutrality is not good for anyone except for those big providers, and there are those fighting against it. But what will happen? That's a tough one to predict.
All right, ransomware.
Yes. Yep.
Still a problem.
Yes, it is a large problem. We get a lot of machines. There's a lot of different variants, new and separate variants. As you know, malware is just a general term for anything that injects or embeds itself on your computer that you don't want. It just does it kind of on its own. So you got, you know, viruses and worms and keyloggers. Ransomware is a newish kind of variant. It's been out for a while, but it basically either locks you out of your computer or encrypts all your data so that unless you pay money, you can't get your stuff back. And it's very invasive. It brings you to your knees, basically. And what are your choices? Pay an extortionist money to get your data back? Well, if you don't have any, like, image backups of your computer, yeah, a lot of people do. They're making millions, actually billions on it. So I mean, there's giant facilities. We're talking medical facilities and places that get nailed by it. Now, you know, it often will come across in your email. You'll be expecting something from Delta or from FedEx or whatever, and they'll say, here is, you know, attached is your invoice or your information. That attachment, yeah, obviously, is not from Delta or FedEx or whatever you think it is, and you go to open it, and wham, it runs it and encrypts it. I mean, even if it's from somebody you know, you should verify if it's an attachment and everything that it is something that coming from that person. I mean,
because sometimes people get hacked, right?
They do. Like Yahoo had tons of people got hacked and everything, and their site's compromised. Well, now you got something coming from Jimmy or Tina or whoever, or someone you know, and that attachment that's being said that says, hey, check out this neat picture or this neat whatever, is actually malware that's going to encrypt and or put it on ransom, you know, put ransom your stuff.
How do you avoid this other than not clicking on those attachments? Is there anything you can put on a computer that will block it?
Well, there are a couple things that are really good. First of all, we do recommend cloud-based anti-malware, things like Webroot that will scan everything before it comes down to your machine and everything, you know, with hundreds of gigabytes of definition. So you're not using up your RAM and processor on your computer, you know, to try and protect. You're actually routing all your internet traffic to giant high-speed computers hooked up off the internet that scan it and clean it, you know, lightning fast and with tons of definition. So efficacy goes to the roof on prevention, but also it doesn't slow your computer. It doesn't bog it down like a lot of the old definition-based products do. Also, the other thing is we strongly recommend having like a image-based backup. It's only $49 for a product like Laplink Disk Image, and what that does, it makes a snapshot of your machine with all your programs and settings and data. It's like the state of your computer, and it'll make an image to any external device. Well, for $50 to have the ability to snapshot your machine and have these safety images that we can then, you know, if something did happen, just restore back to your computer, is worth it. Common mistake, though, people make is they don't eject their external drive. Like if they have images or backups, well, if an encryptor comes through, it's going to encrypt any device hooked up. So when you make a backup to a thumb drive or an external drive, after it's done, don't just leave it on your machine all the time. Eject it, you know, the little ejection thing, and put it in a drawer or something. Only plug it in when you want to do your backup.
That is probably a mistake a lot of people make.
They do. They do indeed.
There are communities that have been, I mean, police departments, library systems, cities have been, states have had this all happen.
Well, and home users galore. I mean, you know, they bring them in here all the time with this, and it's like, well, what can I do to get my data back? Well, are you backed up? Now, some people do an online backup like a Carbonite or Gilware or one of these sort of things, and we do help people set that up. Then at least we can restore their data. We're still rebuilding their operating system and their programs and doing everything fresh, but at least your data, you know, the precious pictures from whatever, you know, that you can't replace, you can at least get back.
You know, is there, we heard so much about Russian hacking, but there's
right. There's
all sorts of hacking from, you know, Eastern Europe and China, and hacking from all over the world, the United States. Is there any way for a small business or, you know, personal users to stop, you know, to basically make their system foolproof from hacking?
Well, foolproof's a tough one because there's always holes and, you know, there's always chinks in the armor or holes in the armor. There are things that can be done for a business or a small business. Or, you should have an intrusion protection router or something that's a little bit higher than just the off-the-shelf, you know, $80 router that you can buy. I guess what I'm saying is that if you get yourself a couple $100 one or even a $400 security appliance, you're way more protected than if you just plug in an off-the-shelf $80 router.
So that's a start.
It is a start. Now,
and train people that are, you know, working on computers within your system what not to open.
That would be a big one. Exactly. Training your people not to just blindly open anything, that would be another. Now, getting the right protection against the majority of the malware that's out there, like the cloud-based web root that I was mentioning, would be, you know, another one. There are a lot of things that could and should be done to protect yourself, and I would recommend somebody call in or go to our website. Actually, we have a Facebook site called facebook.com/MCWWorks where we our MC Works that we post tons of articles on different subjects, types of malware protection, the net neutrality, lots of anything computer related. So check out our Facebook site or like it if you would like to keep up on that stuff.
And there's sort of an arms race going on right now with this stuff, right?
Well, there's always been. I mean, you know, the malware makers get more tricky, and then the anti-malware come up with new and better ways to protect against it. It's constantly seesawing back and forth. I mean, hackers, like, you know, people getting into your machine, if you have open RDP ports, remote desktop, it was free from Microsoft for years, RDP. Well, the hackers learned how to get around RDP. So anyone who remotes into their home computer using RDP is at risk of getting hacked. So, again, you know, what you were using and everything, these malware makers find a way around it. Then we have to come in and say, look, close your RDP port. You want to take remote control of your computer at home or at work there. Let's get you a third-party package that's more secure that, you know, doesn't allow hackers in.
Should people stay away from using Wi-Fi at airports?
Well, anybody can try and skim and such on public networks. So staying away from it, not necessarily doing, you know, credit card purchases. Uh-huh. If you're not doing it, you know, over a secure encrypted, you know, link or something. I mean, when you use your phone, you're using cell phone data and everything. You're not on an actual network.
Correct.
But
right.
When you're using public networks, yeah, you should always be careful not to give out, you know, passwords, not to, you know, not to use stuff that somebody who's sitting there listening in, so to speak, intercepting in the packets and listening in on it, would be able to utilize afterwards.
You know, there's a national Change Your Password Day now.
I did not know that. Yeah. This is news for me. What, do you know what day it is?
It was just the other day. It was just sometime in the last couple of days.
Huh.
And I'm wondering what you think about passwords.
Well, passwords are an interesting thing because a lot of the attacks where people get through are because people use simple or stupid passwords that can be either brute force attacked or are something that anyone looking up on that person could find out. Like if I looked up on you and saw, oh, you live on this street, or here's the name, the name of your whatever father, or, you know, whatever it was, I might be able to then just put that in and do it. Now, I'm sure there's information on your past history that I could look up if I was targeting you to try and get in, who your mother, who your father, who your sister, you know, what their names are, where did you live, that a lot of people use that sort of stuff. I don't know if it'll necessarily who your first dog was. That probably won't be on the internet, but I might be able to trick that out of you, you know.
So should you constantly change your passwords?
Well, I don't know about constantly change it, but I think you should make it very difficult. A lot of times, if you use a phrase with no spaces between it, like, the dog was fuzzy, you know, if you do something that's long, like a string on, and maybe throw a number or a letter in it or some weird character in it somewhere in the middle, no one's ever going to brute force attack it because they would never try that particular phrase with those particular numbers and letters instead, you know, of the actual numbers and letters. So that tends to work very well for people. And it's easy to remember. Oh, it's this phrase, but I threw a one here and a three there. You know what I mean?
Let me, Brian Lease with us, Madison Computer Works, 231-8000. They are on Island Drive, right off Mineral Point Road. If you know Madison at all, not far from CUNA. All right, let me ask you about Windows 10. How's that working out for people?
Well, it's the Windows 10 updates that have really been causing all the problems for people. On older computers, you know, older than, I would say, 3 years old, going to Windows 10 can cause a lot of problems because as Microsoft comes out with new versions of 10 and basically force you to get the updates, they don't let you turn it off like they used to in previous versions, you end up, a lot of times it'll overwrite the driver, so suddenly your wireless might not work or your sound card might not, or heck, it could just do it and then your operating system won't even boot for you. Last night I was in the middle of writing something and my machine decided it was time to do that Windows 10 update. Didn't even give me a choice, it just... my screen went blank, and it turned off, you know, to restart, and it started doing the update on me right in the middle of doing something. So the fact that Microsoft doesn't let you turn off the updates and everything is, I mean, I'm not saying there aren't registry hacks or ways that you could try and, you know, force it if you're a computer hacker, but you know, only in their ultimate version did they give the option to, you know, turn off those updates. Well, you know, how often does it happen? Well, these updates are constantly happening. So one day you may come in, a Windows 10 update happens, and now you can't use your computer, and you're rushing it over here or in an emergency situation because you had work to get done. If you buy a new computer, you're usually pretty good, you know, with Windows 10 because they make the drivers and everything for newer equipment. In most cases, the problems we've been running into have been people who upgraded from Windows 7 to 10 on a computer and really shouldn't have. They should have just left it as 7 and bought a new computer once 10 was stable and had been out for a while.
Overall, are people happy with Windows 10 itself?
If you don't have problems with it, like blowing up with the updates and everything,
right.
if it's a fresh new machine, let's say.
Like my new laptop.
Like new laptop
that I purchased at Madison Computer Works.
um, unsolicited there. But anyway, what I was going to say is that, yes, people tend to be happy with 10 if they're buying it new and, you know, and everything works with the updates and everything. People who have upgraded aren't so happy with it if they have the problems, obviously, because they can't use their computer and they're paying us a lot of money to try and fix it. And the thing is, people say, well, can't I go back to 7? I never had any problems when I had 7 on the machine. And yes, we can reinstall 7. You'll have to reinstall programs. If it's past 30 days since you went to 10, which it is for everyone now, there is no rollback feature. So the only way we can do it is fresh Windows 7, put your program or put your data back on, and now you got to reinstall your programs.
All right. So once again, let's just kind of summarize what we talked about today. If you want to save a trip to the computer store, you can install a system which lets you work on someone's laptop or desktop computer right from your shop.
Remote
them
support.
Time.
People love remote support these
right.
days.
Right, remote
it's
support.
The way it's done.
Okay.
Yep.
If you are if you're worried about malware, ransomware, you've got to be careful about attachments. Make
yep.
sure that you have the proper protection and yep. keep it updated. Right.
Keep it updated to, so there's patches, and get a backup with like something like Laplink, where you can get snapshot images of your entire system. It's cheap these days. One terabyte drive is $89, and Laplink is a $49 program, and then you can back up whenever you want a complete snapshot of your machine.
And most importantly, buy local at a shop like Madison Computer Works, where they've got a great staff that they treat well. So obviously, that carries on down, so the staff treat the customers well. You're keeping the money in the community, and you're not paying a lot more to buy local. Get a computer
no.
and have it worked on in the same place you buy it.
That's exactly right. I couldn't have phrased it more eloquently.
All right. Brian Lease, Madison Computer Works. Your phone number and where are you located?
We are at 353 Island Drive, right off of Mineral Point Road. Our phone number is 608-231-8000, and I do urge people to visit our Facebook page and our Twitter, which would be facebook.com/MCWorks, just for the articles and stuff, and our Twitter is @MCWorks.
Thanks to Madison Computer Works for being supportive of SlysOffice.com. Brian, thanks for taking time with us today.
Anytime. All thanks,
right.
Sly.
This is Sly, SlysOffice.com. Join us again tomorrow.
SlysOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.